Drop kick me, Jesus, through the goalposts of life. End over end, neither left nor to right. Straight through the heart of them righteous uprights. Drop kick me, Jesus, through the goalposts of life. Make me, oh, make me, Lord, more than I am. Make me a piece in your master game plan. Free from the earthly tempestion below. I've got the will, Lord, if you got the toe. Drop kick me, Jesus, through the goalposts of life. End over end, neither left nor to right.
That was Mr. Bobby Bear. He was at the Legends of the Outdoors National Hall of Fame inductee ceremony. He has so many great songs back in the day. Streets of Baltimore, Detroit City, The Jogger, I'm a Winner. Bobby Bear had lots of songs. Welcome back. This is your host, Ray I. Having a great Saturday morning. Here we are in our last segment, January 14th, 2017. Man, I got to tell you, I have loved this show. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did bringing it out to you. Well, we're going to do a little story time. I've got lots of requests for this story time, so here we go. Okay, boys and girls, it's story time with your Uncle Ray. This week's story is practical jokes, something that's ran rampant through hunting camps for generations. And I have to tell y'all, I've learned from the best, from my Uncle Lee and the older guys and my dad, all the guys I used to hunt with when I was a young man. A good example is a couple of my story times, the Game Warden and Old Joe. When it comes to Old Joe, where Uncle Lee came out of the darkness and grabbed that man, I learned my lesson about that. I tried that later on when I was about 20 years old on a coon hunt and worked my way up in the dark behind a guy, came out of the dark, grabbed him, lifted him up in the air, bit his shoulders, and dropped him down in a heap, and he was quivering on the ground. He wet himself, and he passed out, and I never did that again. I remember traveling the old barnstorming days. I came back to my hotel room and went into the bathroom, and there was a wild turkey in my room. I've seen it all, pretty much everything. Retrieving ducks. When I was a kid, the older guys would send me out to get the ducks and direct me to the ducks. Go to the left, go to the left. They'd do that on purpose so I'd go out in a hole and go in over my head. When I'd come up, they were just dying laughing. One of the best I've seen for years, we always used to reload our shells, and we had a contest of who could shoot the most ducks. And the guys would load shells for the other guys and put it in their packs with no shot in it. It was hilarious. And of course, I've seen the guys in a sheet dancing in a graveyard when the guys were drinking. I seen the deal where the guy was scared of a, you know, you never want to show a weakness. He was scared of the graveyard. They went up to roost turkeys, and they dug a pit and put a piece of plywood over it and had a guy down in the ground with an opening by the next close to the tree where the guy was going to set. And when he sat there, they'd told all the stories in camp. And when the man went up by the tree and sat down by the tree to listen for turkeys, the hand came up out of the graveyard and reached to grab him. Well, it just happened to grab him in the crotch. The man screamed like a girl and got up, and it sounded like a gut shot deer with the archery equipment breaking limbs running down off the side of the hill. One of the best I ever saw was at a hotel in the old days before cell phones. This hotel was huge up in Nebraska, and the guys had a room next to this other guy's room with a door between the two. And when he went out for his morning run, they had unlocked that door, went through the door and took all his furniture out, took the bed apart, dresser, everything, and put it in their room and unplugged the phone. When he came back and went in the hotel room, it was nothing. No phone, no furniture, no nothing. And it was like a quarter mile down to the front desk. So he went out of the room, closed the door, and went down to the front desk. And while he left, they put everything back. And when he came back with the manager of the hotel, everything was there. In the old days, one of the most popular things was the old-time cassette tape players. More practical jokes were pulled with them than just about anything. Guys would put deer sounds, a deer walking in the woods, rattling antlers, breathing, grunting, and hanging on a limb with a 60-minute tape, 30 minutes blank, press it going in so it sat there for 30 minutes before it started making noise. And the poor guy in the deer stand is looking all over for this deer. They also did a turkey gobble. Brother Marty did a turkey gobbles many times with a cassette tape. Going in the logging road on public ground, when he'd get right before he'd get to where he wanted to hunt a ways back, he'd hang that up in a tree down on the edge of a ridge and press the button and let that turkey gobble on there, and it'd keep guys out of his place. And he did it to people. A lot of people did it to other guys to get them. I've seen guys at turkey hunting that tied a tame turkey with a rope to a tree. And the other thing with cassette players, they used to put scary voices on there. They'd time it where a guy, they knew a guy was going to walk down a logging road. They'd have it hung up on a limb. When the guy gets to the end of the ridge, they'd be watching from the other ridge because they see the flashlight. And they'd look over there and you'd hear their voice. Laughing sounds. They'd call the guy's name, John Williams. And you'd see that light going back up through there. One of the funniest ones I've seen was they had a Johnny Stewart tape from years ago with mountain lion screams and growling. It was hilarious. Guys were on a bow hunt, a guy and his wife, and the husband had hit a deer. So him and his wife, myself, and two others went up to look for it. Well, my other buddy they didn't know was there had the cassette player with the mountain lion sounds on it. And it was dark, of course. You know, it was 1 o'clock in the morning in the dark on the hills out there looking for this deer. And we're on the side of this hill. My buddy had snuck up and he pressed that mountain lion sounds. And I mean, I knew he was doing it. It was scary. The man grabbed his wife and pushed her between him and the sounds. That didn't go over well. And when she finally caught up with him because he ran, it wasn't pretty. They also used the mountain lion sounds one time in the summer when a guy was fishing. He was at a pond and you could hear that line. He's fishing. They'd do a little low growling, a little louder. Then they did the screams. That guy ran though, and he ran down a road and it was shorter to go through the woods. So we ran across the woods and got next to his truck. He come through his stuff over the gate, was throwing his stuff in the truck. We hit that again. He left the back of the truck open, the camper lid open, jumped in there, throwed gravel everywhere. About a week later, they was all in the cafe having coffee one morning. We went in there and sat down about two tables from him and pressed the button in there, and everybody just roared. He didn't think that was funny. You know, clowns are always an interesting factor for scaring people. Never show weakness. Never tell anybody you're scared of a clown. First of all, what's a clown doing in the woods? Something I found pretty interesting about the clowns is that walking clowns in the woods or clowns peeping through something is scary, but it's not as scary as a clown just standing there. My buddy Gary Lee put on the shoes, the full suit and everything, and would just stand real still. And the guy would see him, and then he'd take a step toward him and stand still. That always worked the best. One of the other ones that always worked was looking in a window. One, we had a meltdown of a kid looking right next to a window on a rainy night on a porch, and the clown looked in the window. The other one was at a cabin down in the Ozarks. We had to pull a bad boy buggy up next to the window to stand on it to look in the window, and the old gentleman in there getting out of bed knocked the lamp over and broke it and had to hide for a while. And later on that morning, the guys were in there, and he come down the hall with his suitcases, and they said, "Hey, what are you doing? We just got here." He goes, "Oh, I'm gonna go on home, got some work to do." He said, I'm gonna hunt my way out in the morning, and when I get up to the gate, I'm gonna go on home." This guy was 70 something years old and scared of clowns. Another thing is the Ozarks deal. We had a guy named Tim came down from a company that was sponsoring a media hunt. My good buddy Mike Scobie couldn't make it and sent this guy. I didn't know him, never met him. He didn't know anybody in camp. When he pulled in and parked his rental car and stepped out, first thing he heard from a big burly Ozark guy is, "Who's that pretty little feller?" Then he came down. I tried to introduce him, and, you know, it went downhill from there. And finally, one of the guys said, "Hey, why don't you come hunt with me? We'll go off in there, and I'll show you why we call it a holler." And it went more downhill from there. You know, can't really say it in story time. But the next morning, he didn't come out. We had the bad boy loaded, ready to go. I sent my buddy Joel in to get him. He couldn't get him out of the room. He had all the furniture pushed against the door. But the poor guy, we finally got him out and took him out and was shooting an on-camera with the lights before daylight. And the clown came out of the chicken house and tackled him, so he couldn't win. Probably the best that we've done. I mean, there's so much of this. You could go on. I could go on for hours. But one of the best was the monster. We just called it the monster. I learned it in Alabama. The boys in Alabama had this, and they did a lot of good stuff with it. And what it is, I'll just tell you what it is. It's a bongo drum with a cord through it, and you put rosin on it, fiddle rods. And we used to send guys to town in every camp, in the Ozarks, every state, "Hey, go get some fiddle rods," because we'd always use it. And you'd stroke that string, that rope. I wish I had a recording of it. And they made them with those bongo drums. Well, I learned that you can make a big bongo drum makes a big one like a mama, and a little bongo drum makes a baby. And I have put many a guy back in the truck with those things. Well, I was in Alabama on a deer hunt, and they told me to listen. It was a kind of a rainy afternoon, evening, and they said right before dark they're going to get this guy. And I had to leave and catch a flight, but I did get to hear it. And I mean, I knew they were going to do it, and it was scary. It was scary. Well, I called my buddy in Alabama after I got back and asked him how that worked. Did they scare him? And he said, "Did it scare him? He's 45 years old. He moved back home. He's sleeping at the foot of Mama and Daddy's bed." Me and Marty knew it worked. We built one at the camp down in Mountain View in the Ozarks. We went out on the back porch to try it, and the cattle stampede ran away. So we knew it was good. Marty one time did it in the graveyard to scare an outdoor writer buddy of mine, and I asked Marty later, I said, I didn't hear it. Did you do it? He said, yeah, I did it. I was doing it, and it scared me. What also helps in those things, doing stuff like that, is that I had my guys in the Ozarks in a local cafe, and one of my buddies that I know come in and says, where are y'all hunting? What are you doing? And nobody knew that I knew Billy, and we tell him, we're out at Chalk Bluff. He said, ooh, my dogs won't even go out there. He said, there's something out there. So it's always good to build it a little bit before they get hammered. And I took three guys out there in a Suburban to Chalk Bluff. It was a little windy, and I wasn't sure the monster was going to work. And they all left, so I pulled it out of the truck and tried a few practice runs on it and tried to do it. I said, I don't think they can hear it. By the time I looked up and saw one of them running back toward the Suburban, he slowed down when he got close and had to hide the monster. He got in the truck, and I said, it's not time to get back yet. He goes, oh, it's kind of windy. I can't hear anything. And then I found the other guy. He was running up from the other way, so they heard it, and I couldn't find the third guy. I finally found him in a treetop, crawled up on a treetop, got him in the back of the truck. They were just looking at each other, trying to whispering, did you hear that? I mean, it put them, and so, you know, that set them up for the next time, and I can't even tell you what happened the next time they heard the monster. There's a lot of good practical jokes. There's a lot of them that are a lot of fun, and a lot of them are scary. There's all kinds of people out there. You never know what you're going to run into. Probably one of the best with the clown was the young man up in North Missouri that kind of popped off to his Uncle Ray, and I said, okay, during deer season, we were shooting television for deer, so I said, well, you know what? I got to go home. I'm going to let you have my camera blind. And I heard his daddy telling him, said, man, you better thank your Uncle Ray. We get to hunt on his property, on his lease, and his camera blind. This is great. And I didn't go home. I had the clown. And this kid was about 13 years old. Had grown up. I'd hunted with him since a little guy. The next morning, I'm in the blind. When they come in, I hear the dad out there say, hand me your gun, take your light, and get in there. And you need to thank your Uncle Ray for letting us hunt in here. This is really good. So he unzips and he backs into the blind, and I got a green light in there with me, with the clown sitting on a stool in the corner. And as soon as that kid turns around, his dad says, get the stool. As soon as he turns around and get the stool, I hit the light under my chin. Go, I've been waiting for you. I cannot tell you the sounds that came out of that kid as he turned and tried to run. He couldn't get out the door. He pulled the blind over the top of me, broke rods, and took it about 20 yards. His dad had fell down and was crawling backwards and trying to get up on his feet. And I ran down and I grabbed that little guy, put a light on him, said, don't you ever mess with your Uncle Ray again. The end of that story is I called Double Bull Blinds. Tom used to be out there at Double Bull, and I said, hey, Tom, I need some rods for my Double Bull blind. And he says, okay, how many you need? I said, well, you know, for one side, but I probably better get some extras. I got quite a few broke. He said, I tell you what, I'll just send you rods for the whole thing. He said, what happened to your blind? I said, clown damage. He goes, okay, I'll get those right out to you.
And that's story time this week with your Uncle Ray.
Appreciate you coming in this weekend with us at our campfire. Say bye, Vogelbacher.
Bye, Vogelbacher.
Say goodbye, Matty G.
Goodbye.
Thanks for joining us for Eyes on the Outdoors National Radio Show.
Brought to you by Midwest Outdoors Magazine and Television, Mossberg Quality Firearms, Indian Creek Shooting Systems, Thomas Coffee, CFM, Conservation Federation of Missouri.
Share the outdoors with others and always be a positive role model for hunting, gun ownership, and conservation. We'll see you next time around the campfire. Be safe out there in the woods and on the water. Say goodbye, Peanut.
The flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. That I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. Cause you're